Do you like books? I mean, really, really like books? Then you're in the right place. Each week, your host, Sam Hankin, interviews the best of today's top-selling authors and the up-and-coming superstars of modern literature. This is The Avid Reader. Here is your host, Sam Hankin.
Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to another edition of The Avid Reader. Today, our guest is Ryder Carroll, author of The Bullet Journal Method, Track the Past, Order the Present, Design the Future, published in October by Portfolio. Ryder is a digital product designer, and he's an author who focuses on helping others and learning what the bullet journal, which we'll be talking about today, is truly about. If you've lived in a cave for the past couple of years, let me tell you what bullet journaling is about, at least to me. It's about making you more productive. It's about ordering your life, achieving your goals, and it's created an analog system for this in a digital age. It also involves something called washi tape, which we can also discuss. In short, instead of spending a good part of your day looking at a screen of varying size, you're able, with pen and paper or colored pencils and journals or pastels, tape, beautiful artwork, to design and order your life, past, present, and future. So welcome, Ryder, and thanks so much for joining us today.
Thank you for having me.
So the first question, and I guess maybe the one most asked, is why is this necessary? We all have calendars, desk calendars, blotter ones. We have journals. We have digital apps, assistants, all forms of management tools. So why the bullet journal?
Well, that really depends on what your needs are. Like, I think one thing that sets the bullet journal apart is that its application is really user-defined. Since there are no templates necessarily in the bullet journal, it's about figuring out what you need to do for you, which immediately puts the emphasis on the user, right? A lot of the times we just kind of deal with the tools that we're given, but with a paper notebook, you can design the tool that you actually need. And it's not really about technology or digital versus analog, if you will. It's about figuring out what the best tools are to help you accomplish what you're trying to do. And for me, journaling, specifically the bullet journal, incorporates a lot of different practices that were usually scattered and allows me to just have one place. Like, for me, my bullet journal is my source of truth. That's where I write down my ideas, and that's where I can find my ideas again later. Spend a lot of time always thinking about, okay, where did I write that down? Was it in this to-do app, or was it an Evernote, or was it on the Post-it note? So the idea of the bullet journal is that you kind of reduce that friction. You just write things down there. And that doesn't mean that you use this instead of one of your digital apps. For me, for example, it's like a capturing mechanism. Through the way that I teach the bullet journal methodology, I show how you can capture your thoughts very quickly and efficiently. And then, you know, for example, take that information and find a home for it elsewhere. Like, I'm not going to schedule a meeting with six people in my notebook, but I'm going to write down the date in my notebook. So that way I always have a place where I can start off from.
Well, it's funny, you know, there's a woman who works in my bookstore who's, she's actually 18 years old. And when I mentioned that I would be interviewing today, she goes, I live my life by that thing. I live my life by the bullet journal. And she's the one who told me about the washi tape, which I said, what the heck is this stuff? Because if you Google it, it says, if you ask what is washi tape, there's like 20 entries. What the heck is this stuff? Before we go on, why don't you explain what it is and how it got involved in all this?
Well, honestly, I'm not really the authority on that. For me, the bullet journal is super minimal. All you need is pen and paper. But there's a very large part of the community that has introduced a lot more of an artistic sensibility into the execution of the bullet journal method. And that's usually what people see. They see the colors and the illustrations. And though there's nothing particularly wrong with that, it doesn't necessarily reflect the methodology or how minimal it can be. Washi tape is just one of the accessories that people have found fun to implement in their own interpretation.
Yeah, it's interesting when if you go to bullet journals and then look at images, it's amazing how beautiful some of the journals are and the different colors. And it seems as if, at first I didn't really understand the concept, but it seems as if, even if you say it can be as minimalist as you show in your tutorial, your video tutorial on your website, the people who decide that they're going to expand and use other media and things like that, they have created something beautiful. And it also seems to me, just from looking at those things, it seems as if it additionally helps them to order their lives or their motivations or their priorities.
It absolutely can. I think that when I first started seeing those interpretations, the ones that are a lot more artistic, I had my doubts.
Yeah.
But the whole point of the bullet journal is that it encourages a habit of introspection and self-learning. And for some people, that's done through engaging with their creativity. So coloring or illustration, that's how they slow down. That's how they kind of take a step back and become less distracted and take the time they need to think through the things that they're working on. And that's what I really love about what's happened with the community. It shows such diversity in solving similar challenges. You know, for me, I try to spend as little time as possible with my bullet journal, whereas other people might spend significant parts of their day with it. And neither of those things are wrong as long as they move us towards the same goals.
Well, it's interesting when you talk about it, as you do sometimes, as a practice, it almost sounds like meditation. Would you go that far? Would you go to that, you know?
I like to describe the bullet journal method as a mindfulness practice that's disguised as a productivity system. So on the one hand, a lot of what you see is based on lists and different layouts and trackers and all these things, and that's the productivity side. That's the system. And then on the other hand, you have the practice, which is about becoming more mindful. It's about becoming present and becoming less distracted through practice and introspection and then different techniques that I teach. And the idea is that we take the insights that we find through this introspection and through the practice, and then we have the system to implement those insights. So for me, the bullet journal is all about trying to align our actions with our beliefs so we can live with more intention. But that's how I use the bullet journal. And some people use it specifically, you know, to organize their days, and other people use it specifically to help them work through really emotionally challenging problems, right? They might use it for long-form journaling or for figuring out how to deal with very complicated challenges that they haven't been able to really get a grasp on in their mind, so they externalize their thought. It really depends on what people need. For me, it's always been a balance of both. You know, productivity guides our actions and mindfulness helps us clarify and surface our beliefs, and aligning the two, you know, is an ongoing endeavor. And the bullet journal is geared to helping you become more proficient at that.
Yeah, I was reading one article where a woman was talking about how she called you at the beginning of the process, and she said, "Does everybody find it this difficult to start?" And you said it could be a big shift for everyone who lives in a reactive world, and is constantly looking to be distracted. And you've kind of answered that question, but at first I got confused because, you know, you're a digital product designer. You have an app, and I couldn't quite get into my head, okay, I understand this is analog, so why? You're not saying digital is bad, and you kind of said that a few minutes ago. Digital is not bad, analog is not good, but there is a difference, and apparently, and I found it to be true as well. And the analog method does seem to create a more holistic feel to me. That's not the best way to put it, but
I would agree. I think that the way that I like to break it down, and obviously it's more complicated than this, but I think that technology is wonderful at connecting us with the world around us. But I think that it is not as powerful at helping us to connect with the world within. That's not what it's designed for, right? It's there to create a world that's as seamless as possible. You know, you don't want to know how your pizza showed up at your door. You just want to, you know, tap the app and that's done, and that's fine. But some things need more time, and I think especially when it comes to understanding our own place in this world, like, we need to slow down. I mean, we are biological creatures, right? And there's, even though we live in this world that promises, like, immediate gratification and bigger, better, faster and everything, like, we know some things to be true. Like, you don't expect to go into the gym and walk out with a six-pack. You know that that agreement will require time and effort, and over time you will become stronger, or you will be, have more endurance. And I think the same thing is true for our emotional state, right? To really start understanding how we can best respond to the things that happen to us, who we really are in the context of either hardship and all the multitude of different challenges that we need to endure throughout life. It's something that we need to be exploring on an ongoing basis so we get better at it. And I feel like journaling is a wonderful way with engaging with our own life that may be a little bit slower but can be significantly more impactful.
And the other way of looking at it is like, and what you were talking about with the metaphor about the pizza, is that I remember back in the 80s, for a while, cars' speedometers turned digital, and but it didn't last. They all went back to analog lines that showed you how fast you were going, and I think it's because people didn't really want to know what they were doing exactly at that moment. They wanted to see the process. They wanted to see, where am I coming from, where am I going, where am I now? Just like with vinyl records coming back, it's like people are not happy with ones and zeros and some of the ones and zeros being taken out. They like the idea of the linearity of vinyl. And the same thing is true with, not to go on too long, but the same thing is true with radios. You know, now you can't go to 92.3934 because you don't have a vernier knob that you can turn. You can just press buttons. So I thought of all those things when I was thinking about the bullet journal.
Well, I mean, another thing is that the, again, the digital has been promised to grant us unlimited access to information. And I feel that it's actually the other way around, right? Information has unlimited access to us now.
Yeah.
And with that, we have unlimited access to distractions. The problem is that we are very limited. Our time and our energy are very limited. And if we're not careful, we can waste a tremendous amount of it being distracted. Picking up our phone in every moment, you know, that I feel like one thing that's going away in our culture is boredom, right? Like, we just constantly are able to distract ourselves. And, you know, we the more distracted we are, the less we understand ourselves and the world around us. And I feel like that's not a good trend. I don't think that technology is bad. I think it's our relationship with technology that's not healthy.
Do you think it can be turned around?
I think that we're becoming aware that there is a problem more often. I mean, you're seeing this large trend towards the analog as well as wellness in general. Like, technology isn't considered to be the solution for everything anymore, whereas I think that even 5-10 years ago it was. Everything will be solved through technology. I think that many things can be solved. I think that technology can help us uncover ways to get better and improve on various things, but I think that the idea of it being a silver bullet is no longer something that most people accept. So if it's not technology, what is it? Or if it's not the digital space, what is it? And now we're exploring other alternatives. You see a huge resurgence of meditation, or at least now being accepted by the mainstream. You know, you see the people that I once thought was very woo-woo accepting it as a very critical part. You know, medicine's catching up with that. The science is catching up with that. And again, I just think it's about us trying to better understand ourselves and seeing what makes us more effective, what has more impact in the world. And, you know, sometimes that's the digital space, sometimes it's the analog space, but in general, it's about us as individuals, as living beings. You know, I feel like we started worshiping productivity at some point. You know, the busier you are, the more important you are, the more that your life means, I feel like that's a dangerous course of action, because you can be very productively working days, months, years towards completely empty goals. You know, ones that you've either absorbed from your culture or automatically accepted and never really thought about. On the other hand, you know, you have this opportunity now to take a step back from being productive necessarily and put some of that time and energy back into yourself, understanding why you do what you do and becoming a lot more mindful about how you're investing your time and energy, because it is so limited.
Well, so, you know, with that as a general overview, how did it specifically begin with you? I mean, here you are now with this amazing audience and with so much influence. How did it first begin with you that this was something that you thought might be valuable to you and to others? What was that first moment like?
Well, there was no first moment. I think it's really important to clarify, like, I did not just like create the bullet journal and like put it online. The bullet journal, as people know it today, was the result of decades worth of me trying to solve my own challenges. At first, much more around focus and productivity, because when I was young, I had severe challenges in school and eventually I was diagnosed with attention deficit disorder. And back then, it really wasn't well understood and there weren't a lot of different tools available to help me, so I had to come up with my own solutions. So the bullet journal in some ways is a response to me just dealing with my own challenges. And when I originally shared it, the idea was, well, I'll share part of this because maybe I'll help people avoid or at least mitigate the same kind of heartache that I had to endure when I was just flailing around trying to figure out a way to make progress and then to keep up. And that was it. You know, I gave it away for free online and that was about all. That was the goal. I was done with it from day one. But then I never expected what happened next. Like, that was something that took me completely off guard, you know, where communities started adopting this methodology and mapping it onto their own lives that were significantly different from mine, solving challenges that I've never even thought of before. And in the meantime, I feel like the only thing I can do is try to continue to share what I have found to be helpful along the way. And that's basically what the book is, where it dives much deeper underneath the simple productivity component.
Yeah, and what it seems like, at least from, and I wasn't really aware of it, but from getting ready for this interview and researching it, looking at the images and looking at the articles, it really seems like there's, and it's not designed this way either, there's no limitation to what you can do. There's no end to it. You can do whatever you want. And there's very few things that are like that anymore.
Yes, and that in some ways can be very daunting because a lot of people like having their hand held. But when I think if it comes to figuring out what really adds value to your life and what matters, that is something that we all have to take on as our own responsibility. And there's no way for me to know what's important in your life. So as I've been teaching the bullet journal, it's been very important for me to like really celebrate the differences in needs that people have. Like, I always like to think of the methodology as like an empty house or like a foundation. Like, I give the community the foundation and then they fill that house with their own life any way they want, because it will be so different from my own. And the reason that works is because when I was a kid, I thought a little bit differently than the other kids in my class, not necessarily in a good way, you know, like the crazy creative kid and things, which usually just meant that I had to stay after class a lot and, you know, failed to hand in my homework assignments on time. But the way I would think wasn't always like in lists, or wasn't always in words. Like, a lot of times I would think in images. So I tried to design a system that worked the way that my mind works. So I could draw in a notebook and I could take notes and I could write my homework assignments all in the same place, right? All these different ways of capturing information and still keep it organized. I needed the system to be really flexible, which was something that I hadn't found anywhere else. I never realized that flexibility could lend itself to be adapted to so many different needs. you know, that was a happy accident, and it's something that I'm always excited to see how creative people can get with that flexibility.
Yeah, I can imagine you are, and I own an independent bookstore, and we have the book, and it's been selling really well. But the thing that fascinates me is just how many people come in and tell me, as Claire did in my bookstores, you know, how much a difference it's made in her life. So I really appreciate the fact that you wrote the book, that you came on, and that you devised the method. So thanks very much, Ryder.
Well, thank you for having me. Mm-hmm.
So we were talking with Ryder Carroll, who wrote the book, The Bullet Journal Method: Track the Past, Order the Present, Design the Future, which talks about the bullet journal, which he kind of invented, which is a way of journaling, which I thought at first, you know, okay, well, I have all these things. I have a calendar. I have an app. I have my iPhone. But then you realize that with intentionality, if you journal your past, present, and future, you find that you're very mindful of what you have done, what you've forgotten to do, and what you plan to do in the future. And many people have taken off from that point and use colored pencils, use tape, do all kinds of fancy artwork. So if you just go to Bullet Journal on Google and just hit images, you'll find these most fascinating and beautiful ways that this method has been interpreted. In any event, what do we have coming up next? We have this guy, Shane Bauer, who wrote this book, American Prison, which has won all kinds of awards this year. Rebecca was able to get him before the book became even popular. And the same thing with Nana Kwame Adjei-Brenya, whose book, actually is a story collection, Friday Black, has also won all kinds of awards this year. And then we've got lots more coming up, too, for the new year. In any event, for a complete schedule, you can always go to our website. You can always go to WCHE's website, or you can just simply download our podcasts, subscribe to them on Podomatic or on iTunes. And as always, it's a pleasure having you here, and I hope you'll be back next week for another edition of The Avid Reader.